in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. The Lord, with the voice of triumph, come on, shout glory! You might be seated. Welcome to church. Welcome you in God's presence. Glory to God. Ki poramanda kabaya. I'm so excited about this 14 days of glory and fire, prayer and fasting program. I'm so excited at the things that are happening in the realm of the spirit. You see, changes happen first in the realm of the spirit before they manifest in the physical. Things are happening. Tell your neighbor, things are happening. Things are changing from the spirit realm in, and then they will soon appear in the physical. Hallelujah. Changes begin first in the realm of the spirit. The physical is controlled by the spiritual. And as we pray, as we fast, as we wait upon the Lord, as we feast on His word, as we invest quality time in prayer to see God's face, I'm telling you, we are making tremendous spiritual progress. And spiritual progress is the mother of all other forms of progress. When you make progress in the realm of the spirit, in your spiritual life, then you begin to make progress in every other area of your life, be it your finances, your career, your work, your job, your academics, your marital life, your family, every other area follows suit. Hallelujah. So, like joke, 14 days we finish on Sunday. So we have how many? Today is day what? Day 9. So we barely have 5 days to go. Like I always say, take this thing very seriously. Place high premium on it. We just have 5 days to go. Am I communicating? Get very serious. This is serious business. Am I communicating? This is serious business. For these 14 days, we have been doing... Okay, it's not even up to 14 days. For the past how many days now? For the past 9 days, we have been doing business, spiritual transaction, serious spiritual business in deep waters. We have been sowing to the spirit. It says, when you sow to the spirit, you reap life. When you sow to the flesh, you reap what? Decay, death, corruption. Life, the whole of life answers to the law of sowing and reaping. In everything you do or say, you are either sowing to the flesh or you are sowing to the spirit. These 14 days, our focus is to invest quality and quantity time sowing to the Spirit. As you study and meditate on God's word, as you listen to God's word, as you are being immersed in God's word, total immersion in the word and in the Spirit, you are sowing to the Spirit. As you are listening to messages, as you are feasting on the word, you are sowing to the Spirit. You are being seeded with the word of God. Am I communicating? Which will produce results after its kind. As you are spending quality and quantity time in prayer, you are sowing to the Spirit. You are sowing seeds. And guess what? As long as the earth remaineth, seed time and what? Harvest. You will definitely reap a harvest of the seed you are sowing. These seeds of prayer, this seed of fasting. No, you are not wasting your time. No. You are a wise spiritual investor. I say you are a wise spiritual investor. Because for these 14 days, we are sowing into the Spirit. We are sowing to the Spirit. Sowing seeds of prayer. Sowing seeds of fasting. Sowing seeds of God's word. Sowing seeds of worship, our praise. Sowing spiritual seed. Messages. Listening to them. You are sowing seed. And the word of God is the ultimate seed that produces supernatural results. Hallelujah. I want you to know there is a reward for prayer. There is a reward for giving. There is a reward for fasting. Everything has its own reward. Give me Matthew 6. There is a reward. You know, God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Is it not written in your Bible? Hebrews 11, verse 6. Is it for without faith it is impossible to please God? For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder. God is not a user. He is a rewarder. God is a rewarder. Take note of that word. He is a rewarder of those that what? Diligently seek him. That means seeking God requires diligence. If you seek God just casually, you seek God like a jester, there may be no reward. God only rewards those that diligently seek Him. It requires diligence. It requires diligence. You need to put in the effort. Am I communicating? You need to labor to enter into His rest. You diligently seek Him, not casually seek Him, not jokingly seek Him, not seek Him unseriously. It requires seriousness. Haya, mandege barakatia. When you do business with God, there is a reward. You can't be normal. You can't just remain the same. Nobody ever encountered God and remained the same. And you don't encounter God casually. It requires a serious approach. He said, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. When you want it more than everything or anything else. Am I communicating? Kitubalakataya. You seek Him desperately, wholeheartedly, passionately. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I say Matthew chapter 6. So seeking God requires diligence. You've got to play your part, okay? You've got to be diligent. Do you know God does not use lazy people? Eh? God doesn't use lazy people. Read your Bible very well. All the people God ever used for any great assignment, none of them are lazy. None. Laziness is one thing that both God and Satan hate. Even Satan does not use lazy people. Go and watch those that are serving Satan, and watch those that Satan is using to carry out major assignment. None of them are lazy. None of them is lazy. Serving Satan is hard work. Serving God too requires diligence. So both God is it. Laziness is one thing that both God and Satan hate. Two of them, they hate it. You cannot succeed serving any of them with laziness. It requires diligence. Praise God. All the people Jesus called, all his 12 disciples, none of them were idle. Go and read your Bible. All of them, they were working, they were doing something. None of them were idle. Peter and his brother Andrew, they were fishermen. They were at work when Jesus met them. And after the miraculous catch of fish, he said, "Follow me, I will make you fishers of men. From now henceforth, you will not catch fish, you will catch men." Did you notice they were busy doing something before God called them? They were not idle. What about Matthew? He was at the custom receipt. Jesus sacked him and said, "Follow me." He left his job and followed him. Oh, read on. You will check. All the people God ever called, they were busy doing something. What of Saul of Tarsus? He was a Boko Haram. Is it easy to be a member of Boko Haram? Are they lazy people? Even armed robbery involves hard work. Do you know the amount of planning, mental calculation, strategizing, the amount of work involved for armed robbers to have a successful operation? Do you know what it means to rob a bank successfully? Do you know how many months, if not years, they've been planning that operation? Some of them will even go and open an account with that bank. They will be studying the security system, checking all the places at their cameras, checking how the security of the bank, how they operate. Do they run shift? From when to when do they work? You know, they take a lot of work. It takes a lot of work. Am I communicating? And then they finally execute the plan on the day of the robbery. And they are very conscious of time. Very conscious. Everything is set. They know who among them is supposed to go and meet the manager of the bank. They know the one that is supposed to follow the manager and threaten him and until he takes the person to the vault. You know vault? Where the real money is in the bank. And open the vault. They know where they are going to put the money. And a vehicle is waiting. They have their driver outside. That driver is not an ordinary driver, expert. The guy can fire speed. They've calculated that, look, from that bank to where we are going, it mustn't be more than 5 minutes. So the guy, boom, once they are out, everybody, pew. They know the road they will pass, that there are no check, no soldier or police to waste their time. It involves work. What makes you think serving God you can succeed with laziness? No, it doesn't work like that. If those serving Satan are not lazy, you serving God, why should you be lazy? The witch, the wizard, the occultic person waking up doing meeting 12 midnight when some of you are snoring, is that not work? And you dare not miss meeting. Not like some of you that you just come to church, come for service anytime you like, and God is a merciful God. Try and with the devil. Satan called for a meeting, and you no show. The devil doesn't have mercy, hope you know. Satan punish, there's no mercy with him. So they know that they cannot miss. There's no excuse. And they have to be there on time. Hallelujah. Matthew 6 from verse 1. Okay, Jesus said, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have your reward You see, of your Father which is in heaven. Verse 2. So you see, when you are giving alms, don't go on NTA, don't go on announcing it everywhere, broadcasting it so that people will know that you are giving alms. He's talking of the motif. Let your giving be done with the right motive of your heart. Okay? It's not because you are looking for public applause. You are not trying to please people. You are not trying to show the whole world that you are a good person. Give with the right motive, okay? That's giving to the poor and needy, almsgiving. He said, therefore, when thou doest thy alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee. Because that was what the people of his day are doing. He said, don't sound a trumpet as the hypocrite do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they have the glory of men. You see that? Wrong motif. Very well, I say to you, they have their reward. So, you see, instead of them to receive the reward that comes from God when you give alms, you know, there is a reward that God, he said, he that giveth to the poor shall not lack. He that giveth to the poor lendeth to the Lord, and the Lord will pay him back. There is a reward for giving alms. He said, but you have to give with the right motive for you to get that reward. Okay, you do it the way God says you should do it. You don't do it the way you want to do it. You follow God's word. Okay, next verse. He said, but when thou, did you notice he's using when? Take note of that word. It's a very important word. When thou doest alms. He didn't say if, when. He said, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Next verse. He said, that thy alms also may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. So there is a reward for almsgiving. Next. So it's a similar principle. There is a reward for your giving. There is a reward. Whether it is tithing or kingdom dominion partnership, you sow seed, there is a reward for it. There is a reward for every form of giving. Kingdom promotion giving. Am I communicating? Praise God. There is a reward. There is a reward for giving. Praise God. I say praise God. Every form of giving attracts a reward. Even your worship offering, there is a reward for it. Prophet offering, there is a reward for it. Am I communicating? You sow into the life of your prophet, your man of God, there is a reward for it. You give towards Avalanche of Good News broadcast, or you sow towards the media ministry, or you sow, every form of giving attracts a divine reward. As you partner with the gospel, there is a reward for it. As you give to your parents, both your biological parents or your spiritual parents, there is a reward for giving. Am I communicating? There is a reward. There is a reward. So, it says, the next one, when thou prayest. Notice he started by saying, when thou givest, when you do almsgiving, when you give alms. Notice the word is when. When thou give alms. Then he said, when thou pray. When you pray, enter into thy closet. So the first thing is almsgiving, the second thing is prayer. When, not if. Shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. In other words, pray with the right motive of heart. Okay? Why closet? Closet because You don't want distractions. Am I communicating? You don't want distraction. 1, 2. You don't want to pray just to impress people. You know, there are people that pray to impress other people. Am I communicating? Motive matters, though. There are people like that. They are not praying, though. But the moment pastor enter church, ayagaba, ulaba, ayayayayayayayayayaya. Jesus say, you have your reward. Continue your gymnastics. So, motive matters. Am I communicating? Your prayer can be correct. The motive of your heart can make it wrong. You pray with the right motive. Where? He says, enter your closet, shut your door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee. He says, when you correctly give alms, when you correctly pray, there is a reward from God, not human being. Reward. Who can reward better than God? It attracts a divine reward from your heavenly Father. Then the third thing he said is what? But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the 18 do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Next verse, verse 8. But not ye therefore like unto them. He said, don't be like them. For your Father knoweth the things that ye need of before ye ask him. Okay? Next verse. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Okay, he now gave a template, a format with which you pray. Move on. Jump to thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Okay, 16. Go to verse 16. Moreover, when ye fast, he uses that word again. When, remember, he started by saying, when you give alms, then he said, when you pray, and then he showed you how you should pray. Then he said, when ye fast. These three things, when you do them correctly, my God, your life can never remain the same. These three tripartite force, I call them tripartite force. Prayer, giving, prayer, fasting. If you combine them, it's like the threefold code. Threefold cord that cannot be broken. I'm giving you a major secret, though. Anytime I want to see certain kind of results, anytime I'm serious about getting a particular result, I combine this threefold cord, tripartite force. They don't fail. When you combine prayer, fasting, and giving, and you do them with the right motive, see, no, all the demons in hell cannot stop you. That result must drop. You must see, this is how we change levels in the kingdom. This is a powerful principle. You want to make progress, you want to shift levels, try these three things I just gave you on the board. Combine them. It doesn't matter the spiritual battle you are fighting. When you apply, combine this tripartite force, prayer, fasting, boost it with fasting, your prayer. Yeah? We say fasting is a prayer booster, right? Prayer, fasting, then seal it up with your giving, your seed, and see whether things will not change. They must change. It's a principle, it's a law, it's a spiritual law of dominion. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Can you see that? They are doing the fasting to impress human beings. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward from men. They have their reward, as in impressing human beings, as human beings are clapping for them. You know, those that they hail for, know how to pray, they hail them, they call them prayo. What of those that are showing off with fasting? How do you call them? Fasto. P Praise God. He said, but thou, when thou fastest, not if, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face. So when you are fasting, look good. Take your bath, not that you are smelling. Brush your teeth, not that your mouth is smelling. You open your people will just be turning their face like this. Don't you know I'm fasting? You are now looking haggard. You've not bathed. You are smelling. Your mouth is smelling. Your hair is unkempt. Haba, your clothes are tattered. Haba mana. Hausa say haba mana. Not good. Am I communicating? He says that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret. You see, God is the one that is going to mark your script. So you better do it according to his specification so that he will mark you right. Am I communicating? Your Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So there is a reward for fasting. Just like there is a reward for prayer. Just like there is a reward for almsgiving. That's what I want you to see. A divine reward. It attracts a divine reward. When Jesus said, your heavenly Father who seeth in secret shall reward you openly, he was not joking. So these 14 days, we are not wasting our time. I say we are not wasting our time. So do this thing with understanding. Hallelujah. And when we say prayer and fasting, it's not only for those that are in the fivefold ministry gift. It's not only for apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, holy men of God. No. Every believer is a similar principle. Whether you are called to politics and governance or leadership or business world or media world, or you are a doctor, lawyer, engineer, pilot, it doesn't matter your career, your profession. Your area of calling is a similar principle. The Jews believe that you cannot be a successful entrepreneur or a business person if you don't fast twice a week, praying and chanting the Torah while you fast. Can you see that? It's a principle that applies not just to those in fivefold ministry. It also applies to believers called to the marketplace. Do you know the Pharisees fasted twice a week? Are you aware? They fasted twice a week. The Pharisees, every Tuesday and Thursdays, they fast. Tuesdays, Thursdays, the average Pharisee is a fasting day for them. You know, easy to even be a Pharisee. Have you checked the requirement to be a Pharisee? They are among the strictest sect of those religious groups in Jesus' day. Very strict people. You must know the first five books of the Bible off heart. You must be able to recite it. You know the way they recite Quran? They do those competition, Quran recitation competition. You see them chanting the whole Quran off head, reciting it. I think it's Kwara State people that like to win that thing. I don't know whether it has changed. It's as if they have Arabic binding globulin in their brain. Just see somebody chanting the whole Quran. The Pharisees are like that. They chant from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, first five book of Moses. They chant it off heart. Is one of the requirements if you want to be a Pharisee. Another one, I'm telling you, they fast twice a week. You know, some of us will read about them now, will laugh at them, but look at their discipline. Look at their discipline. How many Christians even know only one book of the Bible off heart? Tell them, recite it. Even one verse is a challenge. Even one verse is a challenge. Even he say, oh, okay, just give us one verse of the Bible, you know, John 3:16. God so loved the world. Thank God for Gideon International Bible. The Jesus wept. John 11:7. The Pharisee believed that they must engage in this spiritual exercise to be successful in their career, in their business, in their job, in their profession. The Jews believe, as a business person, as an entrepreneur, you've got to fast at least twice a week. And when you are fasting, you are praying and chanting the Torah. You know the Torah? The Torah. The law of Moses. That's the Torah. They believe life is spiritual. So you have to apply the spiritual law of prayer, fasting, and then meditation on the word of God. And meditation involves what? Verbal exercise, verbalizing those scriptures. That's why they chant the Torah. Are you seeing something? This is very important. Glory to God. Life is spiritual. Make no mistake about it. Life is very spiritual. I heard about a Muslim billionaire in this country. If I mention his name, many of you know, one of the richest persons in Nigeria, according to Forbes. It is said that in his office, this Muslim billionaire that he says is doing business, he's a businessman, business mogul. In his office, he has on his payroll over how many thousand, I've forgotten the value, thousands of Muslim imams that are on his payroll. And what is their job description? To be burning incense and be chanting Quran, chanting things like that, la 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 la. He'll be chanting this for his business to prosper. You think the guy is a fool? And he's paying them salary. That's their job. They come to job in the morning, they come to work in the morning, and then they close at their closing time. Their own job is to handle spiritual side of the business. Thousands of them. And the guy is a multi-billionaire. And you are there. You know, you have to apply Parkinson's law. You go learn. Now, I'm not saying that. Now, listen, there are natural laws that you should apply. Am I communicating? You should be diligent, you should be competent, you should be skillful, go for knowledge, you know, do all those, do the natural side. But don't stop there, oh, don't stop there, don't stop there, because life is spiritual. In fact, the spiritual side is even more important too. I'm telling you the truth. You know, there are many Christians, you know, when you read the book of billionaires, all these multi-billionaires, it's not even all of them that write books, self. Most of the time, when you ask them, what's the secret of your success? You just say, you know, you have to be very hardworking. There is a side that they don't ever say. And I'm telling you, the spiritual side, they don't say that one. They know they talk that one for interview. They know they talk that one for channels interview, channels TV. They know they talk that one. They know they write down for their books. You won't see it. But me, I'm telling you, don't be deceived. It's not only those natural principles they apply. They apply those natural principles that guarantee for business success. Yes. But there is a spiritual side that they are not telling the world. Because life is spiritual.
That's why if you run with only the natural principle, you'll be frustrated. I've applied all everything they said in the book. Why am I not getting the same result they are getting? It's because there is a part they didn't tell you. Somebody said the spiritual side. There is a spiritual side of life. The other time I was telling you what Jacoban did to win election. Some of you thought I was joking when I was saying it. How many of you remember when I was saying this thing last year? How he employed how many thousands of ulamas? Is it ulamas? See, life is very spiritual. To tilt things in the realm of the spirit in his favor. Hallelujah. Secrets of the supernatural. Oh, is it secrets of supernatural living? Yeah. Secrets of what? Supernatural living. All these things I said is part of the message. Is prayer and fasting not part of the secrets of supernatural living? It is. So what I'm saying is part of the message. We have started. We started longest time. Today is part two, right? And we said the gospel of Christ is a supernatural gospel. The kingdom of God is a supernatural kingdom. God, our Father, is a supernatural God. The Holy Spirit He has given us is a supernatural spirit. The Word of God is supernatural. The Spirit of God is supernatural. The kingdom of God is supernatural. The works of God is supernatural in nature. Is there anything that God does on earth that is natural? His works, His doings, when God answers your prayer, that's supernatural acts. Am I communicating? They are part of His supernatural acts. Miracles, signs, wonders. And the good news is that we His children are supernatural. I say we His children are supernatural. We are the supernatural offspring of our supernatural Father God. The life of God we received is a supernatural life. Zoe. There is nothing natural about that. The God life. The Christ life. Superior in quality. Is a life with the highest kind of quality there is. There is human life. There is plant life. There is animal life. But the highest is the God life. And that's the life that we received the day we got born again. And guess what? Eternal life, Zoe, is a supernatural life. It's a supernatural life. The nature of God that we were born with, the life of God we were born with, is a supernatural life. It's a supernatural nature. We have the supernatural nature of God in us. That's why I said we have that supernatural DNA. We have those divine DNA, those divine genes and chromosomes that code for supernatural living. So, if you are not living the supernatural life that Jesus gave you, then you are underliving. I say you are underliving. In other words, you are living below who you truly are in Christ. Because our life in Christ is a supernatural life. Because He has made us partakers of His divine nature. And that divine nature, 2 Peter 1 verse 4, that divine nature that we received at new birth, the nature of God, is supernatural. It's supernatural. Hallelujah. That's why I said the believer in Christ is more than a human being. You are not a human being. That we wear trousers and look like fellow human beings does not mean we are human beings. We are supernatural beings
because we have the life and nature of God. We are supernatural beings because we have the Holy Spirit living in us, united with our spirit. That oneness. We are supernatural beings. But you need to know this truth. The revelation needs to down on you, or else you will die like mere men, or else you will live like mere men, or else you will live ordinary natural life, nothing remarkable about it, like mere men. He said they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said ye are gods. All of you are children of the Most High. But if you don't know, you don't understand this truth, you shall die like mere men. Somebody say, God forbid. So you need to come to the revelation of this truth. If you don't want to die like mere men, all of you are children of the Most High. And the Most High is a supernatural God. So his children are what? Supernatural beings. Supernatural offspring. You need to know that truth so that you don't die like mere men. The consciousness of this supernatural life is so important. In fact, operating in the supernatural begins with the revelation of this truth and the consciousness of it. You've got to be conscious of it. Because the world we are living in, everything here, natural, 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 the people we relate with, natural human beings, it has a way of shaping your mindset to make you believe that you too, you are like them. So you need to renew your mind using the word of God, the truth of scriptures. You've got to renew your mind onto this supernatural life so that you can live the supernatural life Jesus died for you to live. You can live the supernatural life that he gave you. Don't be conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You need to have this miraculous mindset. You need to have this supernatural mindset. You need to understand you are not just a normal, ordinary human being. You are a supernatural offspring of your Father God. You need to renew your mind every day. Don't be conformed to this ordinary life. Don't be conformed to this natural, ordinary living. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can live the superior supernatural life. There is a higher life in Christ. I say there is a higher life in Christ. And he has given us that higher life. Is this supernatural life? Because we have the life of God in us. Praise God. The miraculous, write this down, is the very foundation of our Christian faith. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 4. The miraculous or the supernatural is the very foundation of our Christian faith. We established the fact yesterday that the Church of Jesus Christ began following a supernatural move of God. The 120 in the upper room, there was a move of the Holy Spirit. It was a supernatural move of the Holy Spirit. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues. That was how the church began. Following a supernatural move of the Holy Spirit. There is nothing natural about Christianity. Remove the supernatural from Christianity, it becomes another dead religion. And the world does not need another dead religion. The world already has thousands of religions. think the last time I counted, it was over 4,000, 4,200 or 600 religions we have in the world. Are you aware? We have up to that number. How many do you know? Do you know up to 10 religions? But we have over 4,200 or 300 or so religions in the world. First Corinthians 2:4. Hear what Apostle Paul said. He said, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in what? Demonstration of the Spirit and power." I told you that the authentic gospel of Christ is backed by the supernatural. The preaching of the gospel is characterized by the supernatural. He said, "My speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom." It's not human wisdom that will transform people. Oh, sometimes when I watch evangelists, great man of God, Maurice Cerullo of blessed memory, is in heaven now. How many of you know him? Maurice Cerullo, my God. Mighty man of God that shook the world. Most of his work was in South America. God used him mightily. If you are going to count the foremost frontline evangelist that God used mightily to do great things, his works in South America stands out as number one. As number one. Just like when you talk about the evangelist that God has used to do the greatest ministry in Africa, you will mention Reinhard Bonnke, right? He's number one. But when you go to South America, it's not Bonnke, it's Maurice Cerullo. You need to go and read about him. His crusades, massive crusades, and the crazy miracles, the great things God used him to do. It's not only in South America that he did things, but I'm telling you, he's number one when it comes to that continent. I was watching one of his videos. I know the man, he doesn't talk fast. What people like evangelist Jesse Duplantis, you know Jesse Duplantis? You know, he talks very fast. What Jesse Duplantis can say in 30 seconds, Maurice Cerullo, it may take him like 3 to 5 minutes to say it. He talks he's very soft spoken, but you can't deny the power. Higher. See? The Lord is going to visit you today. You just hear him talk very soft spoken, but you can't deny the presence and power. So it's not by grammar. It's not by grammar. The anointing is not in the shout. The anointing is not in the quietness. The anointing is in the Holy Spirit. And if you carry that manifest presence, it will be there. Paul said, "My speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration and of power." See, the world is full of too many problems for you to be powerless. I know the kind of cases that people reach out to me to. And then I see every day, I keep seeing the necessity of power. Honestly, you can't be a blessing to this world if you don't carry power. If you don't carry malata. Do you know what people are going through? Have you heard of cases? As I counsel people, I get surprised at the kind of things people go through. I'm telling you, it's not an option. It's not an option. The supernatural is not an option. How else will you solve all these kind of demonic issues that people suffer? All manner of oppression. Am I communicating? It is risky to live in this wicked world without power. It is risky to exist in this wicked world. He said, have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitation of cruelty. It is dangerous to go through this life powerless. You become a victim. You end up as a victim, cheap casualty. Tell your neighbor, you need to carry power. You need to manifest the supernatural power of God. That's your greatest insurance against demonic molestation, satanic oppression. It's a wicked world, though. It's a wicked world we live in. I had prayed for somebody before with a leg affliction, and the Lord showed me that how that demonic leg affliction began was that the person stepped, as in the person, not that the person macho, but the person climbed, as in passed through charm. They put charm for the person. They put charm where the person will pass, and the person did not know. He just woke up that morning, just like any other day, just moving around. Say, oh, I'm going to terminus. The person just crossed land. And there was no power the person carried to neutralize it. And that was how the arrow was fired. Terrible leg pain. Defied all manner of medication. Analgesic, all manner. But thank God the person was delivered. And that affliction left. Life is spiritual. I'm telling you. Life is very spiritual. Yeah? You hear the testimony of that woman that her son told her, let us enter. Say, I heard them speaking in tongues. This must be the right place for us. Since you people have gone on holiday, you are no longer inviting people, you are no longer doing evangelism. Holy Ghost is doing it for us. Nobody invited them. They entered. When she was testifying, that neck pain, she said she dreamt. Is it they were bringing out nails from her mouth? That's a demonic affliction. Demonic. But thank God she was healed. Life is spiritual. Make no mistake about it. Am I communicating? Paul said, my speech and my preaching were not in Queen's English. They were not a grammatical expression. They were in what? In the demonstration of the Spirit and power. Next verse, he says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. But in what? God wants, tell your neighbor, God does not want your faith to stand in the wisdom of men. But God wants your faith to stand in the power of God. Can you see that? That power is the foundation of your Christian faith. That's why I said the miraculous is the foundation of our Christian faith. God does not want your faith to stand in human philosophy, human psychology, human wisdom. Do you know why some Christians in the Western world, they are departing from the faith? They are falling off. Some are even joining other religions. Some have declared themselves as atheists. Because one of the major reason is that their faith was not standing in the power of God. Their faith was what? Standing or resting on the wisdom of men. All they had was religious Christianity. You see, this God that I have encountered, nobody can talk me out of it. Honestly. God wants our faith to be based on his power, to stand on his power, not in the wisdom of men. Am I communicating? So it matters what your faith is founded upon. The right foundation, he says, is the power of God. If your faith is not standing in the power of God, there is a problem. Have you heard of those people that some Africans, Nigerians, the moment they go to the Western world, they are exposed to the comfortable life there. Some of them, they stop serving God. Are you aware? They stop serving God. Some self will be turned into atheist. The problem is the foundation of their faith. They don't even know God. They've never encountered him. They've never encountered his power. The people that do know their God, they shall be strong, and they shall do what? Exploit. What amount of comfort, what amount of money, what can make me to wake up one morning and say I don't believe in God again? No need to go to church. This God thing is the devil does not exist. It's just a figment of human imagination. Forget about those God, those church bullshit, man. What can ever make me, even if my head kolo, it go come back to normal? I have known God too much to doubt his reality. Impossible. But it's happening to so many people like that, because the foundation, you know, the Bible says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The problem is the foundation of their faith. Very faulty foundation. So it cannot stand the test of time. It cannot withstand trials and pressure, because your faith must be tried. I say your faith must be tried. And if it is not standing on the right foundation, there must be compromise. This is why people compromise their faith. So the person got scholarship, left, went to US, went to UK, went to Russia, went to where again? Ukraine, Canada. Most of the times, listen, when people are about to go abroad, I'm not against people going abroad, though. If you are led by the Spirit, why not? I told you there is scripture for all of them. There is scripture for Japa. There is scripture not to Japa. There is scripture for Japada. So, just make sure you are led. That's the most important. There are people that their destiny is abroad. If they don't Japa, they will never fulfill their destiny. Look at Joseph. If he did not japa, how will he fulfill his destiny? His destiny is in Egypt. If he remained in his father's house among his people, he will never fulfill destiny. The same thing with Abraham. God said, leave your father's house, japa, to a land I will show you. Are you getting me? Then Isaac, he said, don't japa, stay there. So there is scripture for all of them. The most important thing, just make sure you are led. Now, whenever people close to me are about to go to the Western world, whether UK, US, I usually have one major advice and concern. The advice is because of my concern. I usually have one major concern for them, which is their spiritual life. That's the number one thing I'm interested in, because I know the atmosphere in those areas. And if your Christianity is not founded on the right foundation, I'm telling you, you will compromise when you go there. You compromise, you will lose your fire. The atmosphere there spiritually is very cold. That's why we in Africa, we are now taking the gospel to them. Hallelujah. We're not taking the gospel to them. I told you about the writer of God's General, Robert Lyadon. He came to Dunamis for a program, and then he got talking with a man of God, and I was listening to that man of God. He had a one-on-one meeting with him, and
the man of God was asking him about all these great evangelists we read about, Smith Wigglesworth, Catherine Kuhlman, because this man has first-hand meeting with those people. He attended their meeting. He met with them. He even stayed in the same house with some of them. You know, people like Oral Roberts, T.L. Osborne, and all those mighty generals we read about. So this particular man of God was asking him questions about those generals, you know, and then he was telling him, and then at a point, Robert Lyodon became sober. He said, the God of those fathers have left America. They are now in Africa. He said, the God of these revivalists, he said, it's as if he has left America and Europe. Is now in Africa. The fire is now here. So we have to carry it back to them now. That's why if you watch a lot of Nigerian apostles, great men of God, they are now holding revival meeting in UK, US, all those Canada, all those people. We have to carry the fire. How do I call it? Not cold water gospel. The authentic gospel, coated with firepower, back to those people. Am I communicating? He said, the God of those fathers. He said, the God of my childhood, because he was a child during the days of those great generals. He said, the God of my childhood has left America. He's now in Nigeria. He's now in Africa. So they have to depend on us now. I'm telling you. You see, the average youth in the Western world, they don't have time for God. You understand? Church, you mention church to them. Church, they would rather go and watch cricket inside cold. Football, as Euro 2024 is going on. Go and check how many youths are in church in Europe. Most of the people there are old people ready to die. They say church is no longer interesting. Let's go and catch fun. We need to pray for the Western world, honestly. We need to intercede for them. It has become a mission field, in case you don't know. I say the Western world is now a mission field. It's now a mission field. In fact, the Babylonian system there is trying to replace God. They are trying to kick God out of their system. Kick God out of the school. Kick God out of everywhere. They get angry when you mention Jesus in some areas in the Western world. They are trying everything to remove God out of the system. They want to use other things to replace God. There is argument here and there concerning AI. Some people say the Antichrist is going to use AI. Oh well, before he uses it, we will go rock and verse. That is possible. It's very possible. I don't doubt that possibility. I believe the Antichrist will definitely use AI when it comes. And then AI, artificial intelligence. Some of you are wondering which one be AI. Artificial intelligence. It's got artificial intelligence. Yes. Those of you who are technology savvy, you understand what I'm saying. The Antichrist will use AI. He will use it. I'm not saying AI is bad. I'm only saying they are already setting the stage for the reign of the Antichrist after the rapture of the church. The stage is already getting set. Because the Bible says the image of the beast. Oh, let me not enter there. Tell your neighbor, let your faith rest in the supernatural power of God, not in the wisdom of men. Mark chapter 16. Verse 17. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Woo! the new creation in Christ is a supernaturalist. These signs shall follow, shall accompany, shall escort them that believe. The believing ones, the believers in Christ. These signs and all the signs are supernatural signs. They shall characterize the believer in Christ. In my name they shall cast out devils. Somebody say cast out devils. The closest counterfeit of casting out devils is what we call exorcism. How many of you have heard of this word? Exorcism. 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 Exorcism is a practice of using magical spell, using magical charms to make a demon to leave a person that they are dwelling in or they possess. You know? Am I communicating? This is like the demonic counterfeit of casting out devils. Jesus said, in my name they shall expel demons. In my authority. We have the authority in Christ to expel demons. The Greek word cast out is the word ekbalo. Ekbalo means to kick out. As in, it involves violence. It's dunamis power. Am I communicating? It involves violence. As in, you make them live against their will. Their will is that they will stay in that person forever. They will stay in that place. But against their will, you make them to live. Ekbalo means to drive out, to eject, to expel, to force out. Exorcism is like the demonic counterfeit of casting out devils. Here, it is the use of magical charms, magical spell. They conjure, they do some incantation and conjure some things to make a demon to leave its victim. And let me explain what usually happens there. It's actually like a bargaining. Huh? It's just like, let's say somebody has epilepsy. Let's say a lady has epilepsy. They now took her to a native doctor. They say, this native doctor is very powerful. He can heal her of that epilepsy. And now, look, watch this. The epilepsy is caused by a demon, right? And you are now taking it to a native doctor, a powerful one. Now, watch this. What that native doctor will do, if he understands how to appease demons, is that he can exorcise that demon that is causing the epilepsy and bargain that a higher demon will come in to replace this one. You need to understand. Because you hear people say, they took this person to that native doctor, he cured the person. I'm trying to explain what those people do. The devil is a wicked devil. He never give any free gift. If people know the things that happen in the realm of the spirit, when they go and enter demonic shrines and all of that, I'm telling you, if they know, they will never go there. What this native doctor does is that he appeals to a higher demon. a demon of higher rank and authority, that please make this demon that you senior, that is causing this epilepsy, make it leave this woman. And in exchange for it, baptize this woman with another trouble, because a higher demon is coming. Now, watch this. Because that demon causing the epilepsy will leave, the woman will no longer have epilepsy. But there is a bigger problem that she just entered that she did not know. But later, she will get to know with time. It may be that, say, I enter into a covenant that this woman will never ever be able to marry or never be able to have children. And that demon said, you agree? I agree. Or you are signed. A contract has been signed in the realm of the spirit. Or he may free the person in exchange, say, I minus 20 years out of her life. That means if the lady is supposed to live up to 80 years, 80 minus 20 is what? That means he's telling the demon, that the higher demon, that once she is 60, you can take her life. That is the bargain. In exchange for this epilepsy demon living, that's what we are contracting. Am I communicating? Or it may be that the demon causing the epilepsy will leave, then a demon of cancer will come. In 5 years' time, that shall breast cancer. And you can kill her with the breast cancer. And then the demon will say, no problem. Good bargain. I will make the epilepsy. So the higher demon will now tell the lower one causing the epilepsy, oh yeah, a butter. Then me, I come in. Breast cancer. Waiting to happen in 5 years. So now, the mother of the baby that took her daughter to the native doctor will now be happy. This native doctor is powerful. Hey, ooh, the epilepsy has left. Oh, my daughter is healed. Hey, has healed my daughter. She wait 1 week, no epileptic seizure. 1 year, she will now start announcing, everybody, hey, come and see this powerful native doctor. Oh, he healed my daughter. Did he really heal her? You need to understand the things that happen in the realm of the spirit. Did he really heal her? No. What he did is what I'm explaining to you. It's called exorcism. He used magical charms, conjuration, magical spells, and all of that to appeal to a higher demon, to make this lower demon responsible for the problem to leave temporarily. And then that more wicked, the problem is that the one that will now come in is more wicked than the one that left. And we come with a bigger problem. Epilepsy left, cancer entered. And that cancer will later kill the woman. Satan is very wicked. It's only God that can heal you, honestly. Only God. Only God can truly deliver people. Am I communicating? So please know the difference. I say know the difference. Satan does not have any free gift to give anybody. Say, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall what? Cast out devils. Tell your neighbor, you can cast out demons in the name of Jesus. His name carries his authority. His name carries all authority in heaven. You see, angels submit to the authority of that name. It carries authority in heaven. All the 24 elders and the angels, they bow to that name. It's the highest name in the universe. That name carries all authority in the earth realm. It is the greatest authority on earth, higher than US president, higher than Nigerian president, higher than any noble or monarch on earth. His name. Am I communicating? Then the name has all authority under the earth. Philippians 2:11. That the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess. Give me verse 10. Okay, let's start from verse 9. Philippians 2:9. It says, wherefore God also had highly exalted him. You see, when you learn to function in the name of Jesus, you will walk in the supernatural. This is one of the bases for the supernatural. That's why I'm taking time to teach you. Am I communicating? You learn to use the name of Jesus. He said, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. The name of Jesus is above every name. Every problem has a name. Every demon has a name. Every challenge, trouble has a name. Every human being has a name. But he said the name of Jesus is above every name. And that name there represents his authority, his person, his character, his authority. He says God has given Jesus a name which is above every name. Ah, okay, maybe by tomorrow I will go into more details. I will show you how Jesus obtained his name. He obtained his name through three methods. That's that great name that God gave him. Because part of the basis of walking in the supernatural is learning how to use the name of Jesus with revelation, with understanding. If you want to operate in the supernatural, very important. Next verse. He said that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every knee. Angels, demons, Satan, 24 elders in heaven, every human being on earth, every demon in hell, every demon on earth, every knee, including Satan's knee, should bow. In other words, they should submit to the authority of that name. Because that name is greater than them. You now see why he says, in my name you will cast out devils. Are you seeing this? Because that name has authority over them. And when you function in his name, you are superior to those demons. And you are authorized to cast them out. Tomorrow I'm going to also explain the difference between authority and power. We have authority in the name of Jesus, but there is authority, then there is dunamis power. Okay, the two are not exactly the same. Okay, you need to know the difference between both so that you can operate in the supernatural very well. Am I communicating? Authority is greater than power. Authority is greater than power. But there are things that require power, even when you are using authority. We'll find out more tomorrow. It says that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things in the earth. Now, actually, that things there is not just things. It's talking of beings, spiritual beings. Am I communicating? Who are the beings in heaven? The angels, the 24 elders, the saints, right? He said they submit to the authority of that name. All of things on earth, the beings on earth, human beings, and everything else, sickness, disease, poverty, failure, defeat, everything bows to the name of Jesus. And things or beings under the earth, he's talking of the underworld, that's the kingdom of darkness. Satan and his cohort, the demons and their boss Satan, they all what? They are subject to that name. Am I communicating? They obey when they will obey you when you function in the authority in the name of Jesus. When you function with Jesus' authority in his name, they have no choice than to obey you. Am I communicating? You don't need to attain certain height in the realm of the spirit before you can use the name of Jesus and demons will obey you. No. All you need is the revelation, the understanding of the authority of that in that name. Once you have that understanding and then you use the name in faith, there is no devil hatched out of hell that can resist your authority. Because some people have thought that now the problem is they are teaching their experience, they are not teaching Bible. You know, that's one danger. You know, sometimes a man of God can be teaching his own experience, and then you will now go and carve out your theology around. See, don't make another man's experience your theology about God. Get your theology from the Word of God. A man of God may tell you that a demon appeared in his room and he used the name of Jesus and the demon was just smiling at him. No shaking. The demon didn't even belch a bit. The demon was just looking at him. He said, then that was when, you know, you will now carve out from that experience and later realize that there are certain heights. There are certain demons in the hierarchy that when you use the name of Jesus, they're not going to answer you. But is that in the Bible? See, when you listen to people, use your head. That is, if you know Bible. The problem is, if you don't know God's word, you can easily be swayed. That's why we say read your Bible. Don't use another man's experience as the yardstick for judging God's word. No. The word of God is not subject to your experience. Am I communicating? I love what Kenneth Copeland said. He said, you that is shouting, the Bible says they shall lay hands on the sick will recover. Say, okay, if you pray for somebody now and the person dies, what will you do? He said, next. He will look for the next to lay hands. See, you don't use your experience to judge whether God's word is true or not. Do you know how many people I've prayed for before that were not healed before I started seeing people getting healed? You are joking. I've even prayed for some people and they died. But does it change the truth of God's word? Are you getting me? Are you getting... Forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven. Don't use your experience for judging God's word. Some of you had a mighty vision. Jesus appeared to you, touched your right hand, and your hand started burning. He said, I've given you the healing anointing. And you were happy from that encounter. And Jesus said, anybody you lay these hands on, the person will be healed. And he's not lying. Then, the following day, you went to Jude. You saw sick people. You lay hands, and the person was not sick. In fact, the person died. Then you now sat down. Jesus, did you lie to me? You scam me, No, he didn't scam you. He didn't scam you. Your vision was authentic. You need to understand something. You've got to fight the good fight of faith to make the word of God your reality. To make the word of God your vital experience. That's not the time to start doubting whether God's word is true or not. Mm-mm. That's the time to put up a fight. Because you know there is a devil out there that always wants you to experience the opposite of what God has said. When Satan came to Jesus at the temptation, he said, as God said, as God said, as God said. The first garden temptation. If, thank you. When Satan came to him, he said, as God said. Can you see? He's attacking what God said. What makes you think Satan will not try to attack what God said concerning your life? He will attack it. Rise to your feet. I think it was this great woman of God. What's her name? The missionary to Mozambique. Eddie Baker. Mighty woman. God used her mightily. What? In 7 years, planted 7,000 churches in a missionary apostolic work in Mozambique. Saw over 7,000 healings, miracles, all manner. Saw over 100 people, dead people, raised back to life in a ministry in Mozambique. But did you know how the whole thing started? She attended Randy Clark's meeting and she had an encounter. The power of God came upon her. Randy Clark ministered to her and started giving her some prophetic word. He said, you love the people of Mozambique, don't you? He said, thus saith the Lord, I'm sending you to the people of Mozambique. And you are going to preach the gospel with so many mighty signs and wonders and miracles. You will see the sick healed. He prophesied all those things that later happened. She saw in her ministry. She said after that encounter, and God said, I've given you the healing anointing. And then she started ministering to the sick. Jesus said she started going to the hospital while she was preparing to go to Mozambique. She will go to the hospital. She said her first visit, all the sick people she prayed for, none of them were healed. None of them. In fact, she came the following day. They told her some of them even died. At a point, she was getting discouraged. Did Jesus lie to me? He's coming. This one, a holy scam. But the Lord told her the same thing that he said before. God does not lie. His word is true. He said, let God be true. Let every man be a liar. Let God be true. Let even your experience be a liar. If you want to doubt anything, please don't doubt God's word. So she was encouraged. She held on to those words. She held on to it. She kept praying for the sick. Regardless of the result, she kept praying. She persisted. And bam, she started seeing results. And look at how God used her mighty in Mozambique. Lift up your hands. Say, Father, I receive grace to hold on to the truth of your word. I receive grace to walk in the supernatural. Regardless of my past experience, your word is true. Now look at that Mark 16 verse 17. We are going to read it, but this time around, you are going to personalize it. I will show you how you will customize and personalize it. It says, this sign shall follow them. Now this is how you will read it. In a personalized version, these signs shall follow me, a believer. In the name of Jesus, I cast out devils. In the name of Jesus, I speak with new tongues. Next, in the name of Jesus, I take up serpents. And if I drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt me. I shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Can we do it now? The personalized version. Oh yeah, 1, 2, 3, go. And these signs shall follow me, the believer. In the name of Jesus, I cast out devils. I speak with new tongues. I take up serpents, and if I drink any deadly thing, any poison, it shall not hurt me. I lay hands on the sick, and the sick recover. Go ahead and blast in tongues. All these supernatural signs, they characterize me. Lebrando kosovra kapalatia. Manda barakuta. I insist on getting this supernatural result. Liga brandeke poraka patina. Kombala sepeletena. Rando kobrakatai. Jelebrando sovraka patiza. He said, let God be true, let every man be a liar. Let God be true, let negative experiences be liars. Kola brande keba. I insist on the truth of God's word. I hold on to the truth of God's word. I insist on what is written until it becomes what is happening. I insist on what is written until it becomes my experience. Liga bakada gabrando boko sagada.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Luke Hassan-Long King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.